Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to you. And all of you out there in the cyber land, happy Sabbath to you too. Well, here we are. Time is moving along. I really appreciate that first message, you know. But I didn't think of it about the Three Stooges, that is. It was kind of different, but it surely fit in well. And change my opinion on how you can look at anything. Well, the subject that I have for you today is making ready for the refresher, making ready for a refresher. Now, this event has been set in motion from the beginning of the new year. Shortly after the first holy day, we start counting. Now, 5 weeks has passed, and we have 2 weeks and a day to go. As we prepare ourselves, the question then is, have we been really focused on what we should be preparing ourselves for? And what is it? It's the gift of gifts. I mean, this gift prepares us for an everlasting gift. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit from God the Father, endowed through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What a gift. Have we been focused on that? In this daily task that we have, as much as that's going on in the world, and all of the things that's happening, does it take our mind away from doing that? Does it? You have to answer that. How much time did you spend in the past week thinking about it? Well, let's try to get this together. This gift has been given to those who has or are in the process of repentance and removing sins from their lives. Each year, this is set apart for us to refresh ourselves with it so that we won't forget what it is that we should be focusing on. And it's also a time that reminds us that we should focus on it every day of our lives. And not just wait until this thing come about. The question, again, where does it sit in your mind? And in my mind, what do we do with our daily lives? Are we utilizing this gift? And that is the question. That reminds me in the sermon that I'd noticed that you notice David and his friend, something caused them to be able to do that. Something caused them to be able to do this. And they had to have their mind focused on something more than just their own physical day-to-day issues. For that reason, I would say that this message should go right along with what was spoken of in the sermonette. Now let's focus on something here. Why does God give the gift of His Holy Spirit to mankind? Why? Have you ever thought of that? The wickedness that we see and our own action, the way we are, having resentment, bitterness, strife, and when things do not go our way, how we can shove God aside. And yet He offers us something to help us control that and also be able to overcome it and become a part of His very family that is not allowed in, as the message before us pointed out. What a God! How are we to use this gift? What will this Spirit do for us And what is it that it will not do in the lives of those that it's been offered to? What is the duty of the gift of the Holy Spirit? Will it dwell in any kind of condition? Will it depart from us in certain conditions if we portray it? How does it work in fulfilling its job, working with God the Father and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and bringing us into His family? It is a gift, but what controls it? What authority does it go by? Can we treat it any kind of way? As we approach this season, it is time for us to focus on that. And so God has given us a repeat year after year to focus on the thought about the gift that He has given us and what we are doing with it. We can focus on what the purpose it has for us and for God the Father, and how it is it that it can work with us if we are stubborn, rebellious, and fight against that. I hope to bring some of those things out. But first, let's look at what this gift, according to what the definition says. We'll start by making one thing clear. There, in the New Testament, there's a distinction that should be made. There are two terms given from one source. That is, from the same source, the translators translated spirit and ghost. And it's from the same word. That's word number 4151 in the New Testament. And it's spelled, I'll spell it for you, P-N-E-U-M-A, enunciated P-N-Y-O-O-M-A-H. Now, you can say what that is if you like. I probably won't try to tell you. But I can tell you what it says it means. A current of air, for example, a breath, a blast, or a breeze, a spirit, especially a human. The rational soul, the vital principle, a disposition. Now, in superhuman, it says it's an angel or a demon or a divine, God, Christ Spirit, the Holy Spirit, ghost, life, a mind, a regenerate. Now, that is what Strong says that in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, those two words, spirit and ghost, are different. They are taken from different words and they have different meaning. Let me tell you about it. 7307 is, they translated spirit. And it is spelled R-U-W-A-C-H. Enunciated R-0-0-A-K-H. Is taken from 7306, meaning when, by resemblance of breath, for example, the sensible or a sensible thing. It can be an oven, violence, exhalation, spirit, but only of the rational being. Its expression and function of air, anger, blast, courage, and mind. The word ghost is from 178, and it's spelled O-U-B, or enunciated O-B-E. from the same as appearing through the idea of prating a father's name. Prating a father's name. Now that's kind of amazing when you say that, because what happened is we all should bear the name of what? God the Father. A mumbling, water skin, hollow, sound of, now this one, necromancia. That's like, you know, dealing with the dead bodies, or speaking to the dead, a familiar spirit, or just plain dead or body. Now, although these definitions, well, I have one more, Webster. I go back there and get this one too. For spirit, it says, it's a noun meaning breath, courage, vigor, soul, the life principles in a man. The thinking, the motivating, the feeling part of a man. The mind, the intelligence. And the ghost, it says, the soul, the spirit, a demon. And it also used startle, anger, or be angry. And the original is the sense or the soul to give up the ghost, to die. A haunting memory, the divine spirit or a ghost. Now, with those definitions, it can be kind of confusing. So what we'll do, we'll let God explain what this gift is that he's giving us. And many times you look at the definitions of words and things, mankind put them there. But the Bible is inspired by God. So it's best to always go with the scriptures. And that's what we'll try to do within this. So let's start with this. Now, this is a gift that we have been approaching. It's a rehearsal. It's a refresher, like a refresher course that has come yearly. And so as we approach this time, we are rededicating ourselves and refreshing ourselves each year when we come to Pentecost, because that is the time that has come, during at the end of the Feast of Weeks. And this is the season that we are in. Now, this very gift is given by Almighty God, the Father, through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and is given to help us stay the course that lead us to the family of God, where we receive salvation. It is a promise offered by one that will not lie. Will you turn with me now as we start approaching this subject? And there are many other scriptures and things that we will not be covering that you can study and add to it. And you can use that as we approach in these 2 weeks and a day. Be ready for what we will receive on Pentecost. Now let's look at Luke 24 and verse 49. We'll read there. And behold, I send the promise of my Father. That is Jesus Christ speaking. And he's sending what his Father has promised to you and to me. His Father has promised this. But he says, tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. Now, that means it's a preparation stage. It is something that you look forward to. He didn't say he was giving it. He said it would be given and whom it would be coming from. Let's go now to Acts 1. We're just establishing what this spirit is, what its duties are, and how it works with us. We'll use verse 8, Acts 1, verse 8. It says again, this is after Jesus Christ had been crucified, dead, and buried, and risen. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come up on you, and you shall be witnesses to me. That is one of the purpose. When you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it says that you are to be what? A witness of whom? Jesus Christ. Now, should I ask the question? Do you feel that you are a witness to Jesus Christ as you go through your day? As you fraternize or be with other people? That's what the Spirit says it would do. Where should you do it? Both, we continue. Both in Jerusalem, we are not there. In Judea, we are not there. Samaria, we are not there. But it says, notice, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, so we don't get out of it. We are to be there, to the uttermost part of the earth. Think on that. Let's use another scripture here. Acts 2. We'll go to verse 37. You know what it says. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Are there times when you wonder what you should do? Well, if you stick with me, I think we'll be able to answer that. Because there are times where you do not know how to answer. You don't know whether you should or should not. But the Spirit knows if you submit to it. And it can guide you into all truth and lead you through it all. Chapter 3, verse 19, the next scripture. Now, remember, this is just preparing to get us set in mind for the refresh, sir, that we are coming to at Pentecost. Chapter 3, verse 19. So repent you, therefore. That means make the changes. And it is required daily. Because what we are setting to this world and everything is put at us, we have to make the change from that to the way of God. He says, repent, therefore, and be converted. Now, this is a process. It's not a one-time deal that covers it all. Be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And you see, Satan put those sins before us, what? Daily. And we have to make sure that we do not allow them to enter in us. And that's how we blot out the sins. And when should we do that? When the time of refreshing. Notice that. When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's what we have to do. That is required of us. And this is the refreshing that I'm speaking of. We should be refreshed every time we go through any event in our lives. When we turn from the ways of the world to the ways of God, it should be a refreshing to us. Because we are not following our natural way of life. And that way, we must turn away from it. And that's a refreshing thing. You're returning back and acting on what the Spirit is guiding you to and for. What? Let's continue on this. Next, let's look at this gift. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that God is offering to us. What is his duty? And its responsibility. And what it will do for God. To the called out ones. For that, let's look back and let the scripture answer that for us in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we begin reading in verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. Sometimes we wonder if we ask, and you know, in one place it says you don't receive it because you ask a myth. And if we ask not a myth, and we are in the guidance of what the Holy Spirit does to you, then what happens? It says he will do it, and he will not lie. How will he do it? If you love me, keep my commandments. So you have to be keeping God's commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he, the Father, shall give you another comforter. He was telling the disciples that because at that time he was physically present with them, and he was letting them know that there would be something representing him when he was not physically present with him. And it, this comforter, shall abide with you forever. That's a possibility. It depends on how you treat it. We can tell that by the way we deal with other people, because there are times when we have to depart too. Verse 17. And the Spirit of truth, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a Spirit of truth which will not lie, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it sees it not, neither knows it, but you know it. We do. We have it within us. At baptism, we receive a gift of it. How do we use it? For it dwells with you and shall be in you. Well, what do we do with it in there? How do we use it? It's in our hearts and our minds. 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How? Through the Spirit. Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keep them, he it is that love me. When we say we love God, that means we have to do what? Keep God's commandments. And he that love me shall be loved of my Father. So if you love Jesus Christ, he says his Father will love you, and I, Jesus Christ, will love him. And he's promised that. And will manifest myself to him. How? Through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26. But the Comforter, again it's explaining, which is the Holy Spirit, it specifically says so, whom the Father will send in my name. So God the Father sends the gift of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And it shall teach you all things. Are we willing to learn it? Or sometimes we don't want to hear it. And bring all things to your remembrance. There, I often check myself sometimes when I can't remember. I wonder, why can't I remember this? And I know that it's me that's standing in the way of the Holy Spirit, because it said it will bring it into your remembrance. Whatsoever, what will it bring? What I have said to you, what Jesus Christ teaches. And that is this book. It's in here from the front to the back. So if we really put ourselves to it and yield ourselves to this Holy Spirit, then we can have assurance that those things will come to our mind. If we study them, if we practice them, if we do them and not neglect them. That's the duty of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me also to John 15. John 15. We'll read there, verse 26. But the Comforter is come from, wait a minute. But when the Comforter is come from, now, whom I will send to you. So Christ is going to do it. When we repent and become baptized, he will send that Comforter to us to help us. And if we really want the help, what are we going to do? We got to repent and become baptized, and then we got to also obey. And it will come to you, and it will help you. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you, where does he get it? From the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, it shall testify of what? Of me. The Holy Scriptures. Because Christ, Jesus Christ, is the Word, and the Word is written in the Holy Scriptures. It's that refreshing that we need. It's that refreshing that we must focus on. John chapter 16, we go there for a moment. We'll pick it up in verse 13. Just emphasizing what it is that we are refreshing ourselves with and what we should be receiving from that refreshment. John chapter 16, we began reading in the verse 13. However, when it, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth, not into errors. If you want to walk in error, you have to go without it. For it shall not speak of itself. It's not boasting or bragging about itself. But whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. Now, sometimes we get into a dilemma, and we don't know what's going to happen. If we come given to the Holy Spirit, it will show us. Now, it didn't say when. It might wait till you get there before it tells you. Or you might get there and it tell you later if you really give yourself into it. And it shall glorify me. This is why it does it. And it shall receive of minds of Jesus Christ and shall show it to you. All things that the Father has are minds. Therefore says I, that it shall take of minds and shall show it to you. What a great comfort we should have, and how much should that stir us up to wanting to be there, and to take part of what is coming. Just the way. Now let's continue by looking at the effect of the Holy Spirit in some of the individuals' lives. That'll maybe help us to focus on how the Spirit works with different people and how it's done. This is all given for our admonition. Now the examples of these people are given so that we can learn how it works. It also given too for us to know by whom authority the Holy Spirit works. Because sometimes we might want that Holy Spirit to do something that it does not do. And that's because it's under the authority of God rather than us. And so as we look at these people's lives, it'll help us to focus on what it is that we should be doing. Now Christ, Jesus Christ is the God of the Old and the New Testament, or both. And God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, change not. They are the same in purpose and direction. And therefore, their Holy Spirit would be the same in purpose and direction. Because if the Holy Spirit is under its authority and it obeys God, it's going to do what God says. And that is true from beginning to the end of the scriptures. And that's something that we need to focus on. Now, the Holy Spirit was given to a few people in the Old Testament, not blanket like it is in the New Testament. But so we'll look at the Holy Spirit working in a few of those people's lives. Now, you realize that the Old Testament is a physical dispensation. And so if we look at something from the physical, as Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, I think that's what his name, that if you can't understand what I'm telling you in the physical sense, how can you understand the spiritual? So we have to remember that most of our issues that we have, if we look back into the Old Testament, it'll give us an example of what and how it works and how God is working. And then we can relate that to the spiritual side of it. And when we relate it to the spiritual side, then we begin to understand what God is working out in our lives from a physical to the spiritual. So as we look at these examples here, let's remember, this is for our admonition, to teach us to know how the Holy Spirit works. And if it is doing that, it is leading the individual to what? All truth, as long as they what? Obey God and keep his commandments. So, we'll go in this, Genesis chapter 41. Let's turn there. Now, we'll be mostly just highlighting the examples. I hope that you remember these examples. In Genesis 41, we're going to speak now about Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph? How many of you remember about Joseph? Can I see your hands, please? Oh, I see some older people don't raise their hands, so I don't guess they remember it. But I see a lot of young people raising their hands, and that's great. Maybe you need to check with the Holy Spirit, and it'll help you to bring it to your memory. I was hoping that everyone would raise their hand. But anyway, let's find out. You know, Joseph was a young kid, and his brothers and sisters hated him. They didn't like him. You know, we heard about that in a message before. And they started to kill him, but they decided they'd make a profit, and they sold him. And then he stayed with the course. He did not falter. And he was sold, and his master loved him and gave him authority, and his master's wife tricked him and got him thrown in prison. He did not change. Now, it was something that was guiding him so that he would not make the mistake. He was thrown in prison. Out of prison, and then he came to what? To be the king, or not the king, but the next man in order. And God had led him all the way, and I would say, through his Holy Spirit. Now, you may not say that, but let me read this scripture here to you so that you might read it. 41, Genesis 41, we'll start reading in verse 37. Verse 37. And so it came to the time, you remember when the famine was coming on the land and all of this, and God had revealed to Joseph what would happen, the thing's future. It was future, as we saw that is what the Holy Spirit does. And the bystander, well, the king, and it says in verse 37, and this thing was good to the eyes of Pharaoh and to the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such a one as this is, a man whom the Spirit of God is? Even Pharaoh could know that that had to be something other than physically that was leading Joseph. He had to submit to it. He had to live it. And he also let the light shine through him that Pharaoh could see it. How about us? How about us? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is it about us? Let's continue on. For the next incident, let's turn now to Exodus 31. We're just highlighting through some action of God's Spirit working with mankind. Exodus 31. Here's another incident. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezaliel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God." You see, when we repent and reach out, God will put that Spirit in us. And we too can do the work of God in this day, in this age. In this age. Now, let's turn over now, for the sake of brevity. I won't read all of that. I'll just hop down to the next scripture here. Chapter 35, verse 30. Chapter 35 and verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezaliel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he, God, has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship." If God had not offered the gift of the Holy Spirit like he did at Pentecost to mankind, yet these people responded so that God did offer that gift to these men. And it's written in the words of God. You see, it takes effort. It takes something from us. We have to respond as we should. And then it works out. Let's go now to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. We have another little thing I want to show you. And this is Numbers 11. We'll read verse 24 starting there. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men, the elders of the people, and set them around about the tabernacles. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took the Spirit that was upon him. Now, Moses evidently had the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he took some of the Spirit off of him and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and it did not cease. So then, it's kind of like a father and a mother who has the Spirit of God rearing up a family. And if they really share that, they can share that with their youth, their children. And they too can receive that from them. It says so in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. It says that. Go back and read that. Put it with your notes to read it at this point. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, it will say, and to your children. So it is given, and it moves down. And so this was a way that we see that how God is working, and he's revealing, and he's showing us all these things, and he's showing them to us. But now notice something else that happened here. This is an example of what the sermonette was speaking about. In Acts, where did we stop reading? I'll just read the whole thing again. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men, the elders of the people, and set them around about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took the spirit that was upon him and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that the spirit rested upon them and they prophesied, and it did not cease. Now, notice this. But there remained two of the men in the camp, and the name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad, and the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them of, now what was written, but when they went not out to the tabernacles, but they prophesied in the camp. Notice the sermonette here. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesied in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, my Lord, Moses, forbid them. And Moses said to them, envy you not for my sake. I mean, they took it from me. Don't worry, not for my sake. Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all. You see, are we sometimes trying to use the spirit, God's spirit, for ourselves only? Or are we willing to share it and let it move out and grow? Think about it. Now, these are physical examples to show us what we have and how we should use it, and show that if we use it, the examples are there for us to look at. It's for us to look at. I could read more, but I would want to now go to a point where that we have two different people utilizing the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And we'll show the contrast of how one can use it to be effective, and one can try to use it and it be a disaster. And this is something that we, you and I, need to focus on, I think, without ceasing. Because we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And one of these men uses it for a while and then uses it another way. And the other one, the same thing. Let's look at it. Let's look at this. We'll go now to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. And when we come to 1 Samuel chapter 9, we see that the children of Israel had asked for a king, and God had given them and granted them a king. And God took this king and gave him the gift of his Holy Spirit to guide his people. 1 Samuel 9, we'll pick it up. Let's highlight down through here. This Saul was a man, king. He was becoming king. And he says that he was of the smallest tribe and from the smallest family and all of this. But God was choosing him. Just kind of like in 1 Corinthians says, not many wise men are called. And that's us. And this is that Saul. And God granted him the gift of his Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 21. And Saul answered and said, Am I not a Benjaminite, the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speak so to me? Now, sometimes we always put ourselves down. And there are a lot of us who sometimes think we got no talent, we got no, and poor God's called me. And, well, he was thinking this way. But notice what happened, though. Notice what happened. Chapter 10, we'll read verse 1. And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it up on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be the captain over his inheritance? Now think about that. The word inheritance is quite important in this. And so Saul was a part of this. Verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. That's what happened with us, right? We should become a different person when we are baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit than what we were before. We had that gift given. Before we had that gift given. And so, let's follow this on a little further. Chapter 10 and let's read verse 10 now. And when they came there to the hill, behold, the company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came up on him, that is Saul, and he prophesied among them. You can read that whole account and see how this thing was working out. Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6. We're just trying to get to the point here. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And this is when he went out and saved the nation of Israel. He was obeying God. He was doing the work, and he was doing what God had told him. And it was working with him, and it was going fine. Now, we go further now to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Now, he has another assignment. You see, sometimes we come to things that we particularly don't prefer, or we would like for it to be different. And when we have that thought, I ask you to turn back and read these scriptures. Chapter 15, we'll pick it up in verse 1. Samuel the prophet also said to Saul the king, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken you to the voice of the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord of hosts, remember that when Amalek did what Amalek did to Israel, now he laid wait for them in the way when they came up from Egypt. Now the instruction is given. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy him. That's all of them. All that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and asses. That's donkeys. Now, you would think, if God tell me to do that, would you do it? And if you don't do it, would you be disobeying God? Could you do it with your self-conscious? I say this. You could do it with God's spirit. But if you reject that spirit, we have some examples for you to listen to. Let's go now to verse 9. Let's see how it's come down. Chapter 15, 1 Samuel 15, we'll pick it up in verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag. They left the king there. And the best of the sheep. Some of those, they were so good. And the oxen and the fatling and the lambs and all that was good. Who has said that it was all bad? God. Now, who is saying there is some good? Saul. And he would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile. Now, who said this was vile? God. But now he's saying everything that is vile and it's not the same thing that God is saying. And he refused to destroy them utterly. Do we do that sometime? When we have duties and responsibilities, and we have that daily and live in God's way, we are without excuse. When that happens, do we really sometimes think, oh, not that. I'll just put this off. I can't just do that. Even though I know that I should do it, and I've been told to, love this person, but do you see how that person look at me? I mean, they don't walk the way I walk. We can think of all kind of things, And you have some men will say, oh, women. And some men will say, oh, women. And whatever else you want to put with all of that. And there's a lot you can put with it. But God says what? Love what? Love what? Your enemy, even. And that included Putin. And all the rest of them. He says love them. And so what I have to do, our thoughts inside is what God is looking at. He's looking at your heart. And even though that guy's way over there, you have an opinion on that's right within you. And that opinion that's right within you is the thing that will destroy you. Because if the Holy Spirit leaves you, you have no chance. Because it says, and you can read this in all the Gospels, if you put down the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness. Because you see, remember what I said, the definition of the Holy Spirit was? It is what leads you to all truth. It is what will help you to know what to do. It will not force you to do it. And so if you're doing that, you're going to have trouble keeping the Holy Spirit. I say that, and I have some scriptures to back me up on it. Let's read them. We were reading in chapter 15, we read verse 9 and 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, 11, verse 11, It repents me. And when God repents you, that means he changes. He had granted you this. Now he is not going to support it in you. It repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, that is, the spirit that he had given him to follow him, and has not performed my commandments. That's what he says. And that's something that we need to keep in our focus and in our minds daily. Verse 13. Now notice how Saul looked at this. And Samuel came to Saul and said, Saul. And Saul said to him, blessed be you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Did he do what God said? You follow the scriptures, right? He didn't, because he left them there. And Samuel said, what mean then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and lowing of the oxen which I hear? If he had done what God said, that would not have been the case. Verse 20, let's go there. And Saul says to Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed all the Amalekites. Now, but that is not what he was told to do. That is not what he was told to do. Verse 21. But the people took off the spoil of the oxen and the chief and all the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. That's what he says. Well then, Saul also answered him and said, and Samuel said, has the Lord so great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice. To obey God is better than anything else you can do. And to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, I want you to highlight this verse and let it soak into your thinking. For rebellion is the sin of what? What does it say? Witchcraft. You mean when you disobey God, you are practicing what? Can I hear it? Do you believe that? Do you believe it? It's witchcraft. And stubbornness, oh, we can be stubborn, is the iniquity of idolatry. So when you're practicing stubbornness, you're practicing what? Idolatry. That's what the scripture says. Now, it's true. I've been to the feast in places where they practice witchcraft. And they practice idolatry. And one man came to me and asked if I could help him to, you know, what can I do to help him live in that community because he couldn't get out of it without offending people while he obeyed God. Well, since I was an expert, I kept my mouth shut. But to you, if you do what this scripture says that practices witchcraft and idolatry, You don't have to go anywhere. It's sitting right in your seat and standing right under my feet. Think on that. And if the Spirit of God is with us, he will lead us to the truth to get us out of that. That is why God grant us his Holy Spirit. Are we using it? Or are we losing it? Verse 30. Notice how Saul repented. Then he says, I have sinned. Did he? Yet honor me. You see? He said it. Honor me. I pray you before the elders of my people. You don't honor me anywhere else. Go to the elder of my people and before Israel and turn again with me that I may worship. So he just wanted to do it for the people's sake or how he looked. What about us? Sometimes we say we repent or say I'm sorry and it's just a formality. It's just a formality. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we'll see the result. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we'll read verse 12. No, not 12. 14. I'll get it right sooner. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. You see that? With that kind of action, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, many people think that once you have the Spirit of God, you can't lose it. But this shows that what? With certain action and certain conditions, the Spirit will not live under certain action and certain condition. I'm not saying that I have the authority on this. I'm reading the words that God has put before us to look at. And when you think about it, sometimes you'll look back and you'll see someone and you try to make all kind of justifications of why the baptism didn't take. And there are other times we will use it for certain people and not other people. But it says that under certain conditions, the Spirit of God will not stay there. That's one example. So therefore, we need to try to accept and live according to the Spirit of God. It is not easy for us because we want it our way. Now let's look at this other example. We'll pick it up here in verse 12 of the same verse. And he sent Samuel and brought in him this. He was a ruddy, beautiful countenance, good to look at. And the Lord says, arise and anoint him. That was David. And you know what happened with David? He too was granted the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. The second part of that. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that day forward. Now David made some mistakes too. But notice the difference in David and Saul. Let's turn with me now to verse 15, Psalm chapter 51. Verse 1. David is crying out from his mistakes. And he says this, have mercy upon me, God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression, Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins are ever before you. Against you, you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquities, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. And the inward part, and in a hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, that I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy of gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Have you prayed that similar prayer? Whether you requested God to not take that Holy Spirit from you? Did you totally repent so that he would leave it with you? This is what we go through year after year to remind us what it is that we should be doing and how we should be living and the way that we should be conducting our lives. The sacrifice of God in verse 17 of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. He does not. Once we can do this, once we have that, once we focus on what God is doing for us, once we realize that we have that spirit, and you might ask the question, why shouldn't someone want it? Why? Is it that they want to stay in their sins? Or is it that they don't want the help? Why shouldn't we ask for it? Why shouldn't we seek it? Why shouldn't we reach out and let God direct it for us? Sure, we'll have problems. Sure, we'll have troubles after we get it. But you know what? It's there for you. Without it, you don't have that help. And therefore, you're down in your dumps without a hope. You're in the pit without a rope. So we have to be focused on wanting it and desiring it and to keep it and to use it. I see my time is running out. I had so many scriptures until it took me almost, I don't know how long to just look at all the scriptures to try to find some that would help present this. But if you take the time, you can look in it, you can study it, and you can see there are many more examples in the Old Testament and plenty in the New that guide us and direct us and show the need for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's there. You can think about how the apostles lived and how God directed their lives all the way through. Take any other examples, and it will show you that they had problems, but God saw them through. Look at the example of Stephen, example of Paul. How many things happened to him, but God saw him through. And he said there was a crown waiting for him. That is, he was going to be in that kingdom. And he was going to be able to stand before God at that time and at that day. So we can suffer with it. We can suffer without it. But the one thing about it, if you're suffering with it, you know that you will have that great deliverance. And you know that it will guide you all the way. And you know that you can find the truth and it will show it to you, and it will lead it to you, and it will cause you to remember the words for that very moment that you have when you're looking for something. It will help you. This is what we're preparing for. This is what we're reaching out for. So, in closing, I want to read one more scripture to you. Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, I read it before, we'll read it again. Repent you. That's a daily task with us. Never forget that. Repent you. A daily task. Therefore, and be, or should be, become converted. And that's a daily process. You are constantly becoming converted. Because what happened is, we haven't faced tomorrow yet. We don't know all the things that's going to be thrown our way. But if we are in a conversion process, whatever comes our way, we will stay the course. We will follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it will help us to overcome it, and we will be turned away from the evils that are set before us day by day. And we won't have to worry about what is going to happen to the USA or anything else. No matter what is death or life, you won't have to worry. The Holy Spirit will see you through. And it says, as we continue, that your sin will be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We have that Sabbath after Sabbath. We should have it through the week as we call out to God. And we can be refreshed with the instruction and the information that we need to live our lives in this age.